Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
While I respect and we respect that person's beliefs, that person's not going to get on an airplane.
Okay. There will be no exceptions just
no.
because of religion.
People choose to worship God as they please. Islam flourishes, but so do other faiths.
To meet its moral obligations to the Iraqi people, it is critically important that the United States take additional steps now to help Iraq protect its citizens, especially Christians, and others who are victims of organized attacks.
Luther doesn't want us to find our predestination in eternity past. Luther wants us to find it in the wounds of Jesus Christ, in His Word, and in His sacraments.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
So how does it work with the Holy Spirit? I know many Christians assume that the Holy Spirit, being a spirit, is kind of free to fly where He wills, and there certainly is an element of that, but can we find the Holy Spirit anywhere, everywhere? Does He work through, I don't know, thoughts coming to you from the back of your mind, the little voice that whispers to you in the dark of night, perhaps a sign in your life? We're going to talk about the importance of the external Word. That's what the Reformers called Scripture, the external Word, here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday, November the 17th. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. We'll answer that question a little bit later in the first hour. Some audio open lines. Joel Osteen was on The View for, I think, the second or third time in his career, but it was yesterday that they brought up the subject of homosexuality. We'll listen to some of the audio, and we'll get your reaction. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. That's the first hour. Second hour of the program, we'll spend some time talking about a Muslim festival. It's Eid al-Adha, as it is called. It begins, I believe, today. Dr. Adam Francisco will explain to us, I think it's usually just called Eid for short, in the second hour of the program. And then we'll spend some time with Dr. David Adams dealing with one of the most troubling apparent contradictions in the Bible, the intermarriage of siblings. For instance, after Adam and Eve, husband and wife, who marries who? And where do all the kids come from? And later in Scripture, does the Lord sanction adultery? We'll deal with some of those marriage issues as apparent contradictions in the Bible. Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-MY-IE is our in-studio phone line. You can send us an email in studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or just visit our Facebook fan page, either on the subject of the marriage of siblings, facebook.com/issuesetc, or for your reaction on Joel Osteen's appearance on The View, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, and he's author of an article titled Lutheran Exceptionalism. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Yeah, speaking of the Table Talk Radio program, you recently had me on to play some Iron Preacher where you pit preacher against preacher.
It was you and me.
Who won? I wasn't able to stick around long enough.
Technicality, I know. You won again. I can't. Dr. Frankincher called me on a technicality because apparently I preached one verse beyond the verse that Evan had given us, and that disqualified my sermon. So two times in a row now, you've walloped me.
Yeah, now, am I correct? I'm the only one to have ever walloped you?
No. Oh, okay. You were just the first, but now you're a long list of people. I don't think I've won in the last 7 or 8. I got to find some schlub preacher who, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll walk down the street and find the preacher down the street to go. It's getting kind of embarrassing, really.
Well, speaking of the preaching.
Your sermon was good, though, by the way.
I
thought it was. Even you deserved the win, I'm sure, Todd. You deserved it.
Well, who might say? Many Christians have a view of the Holy Spirit that he, since he's a spirit, he's kind of flying free out there. He may speak to you in a quiet whisper some evening while you're sitting by the fire. He may nudge you this way, lead you that way. A lot of Christians talk about being led, and they think maybe signs in their lives of what they should do, how the Spirit is leading them. Is this view of how the Holy Spirit works supported in Scripture?
Oh, it's a terrible view. I mean, and of course, nowhere in the Scripture is it. I mean, the point of that whole view of the work of the Holy Spirit is that it leads us away from the Scriptures, which is the problem. Because the Holy Spirit has said, look at here, here's how I'm going to work. Here's how I'm going to give spiritual benefits and do spiritual things. It's through the Word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Or how about this marvelous text that Paul gives us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2? Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing with faith? So that the Holy Spirit comes when we hear His Word in the Scriptures, and we hear that Word preached. It's not apart from the Word, separate from the Word. It's precisely in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit works. There is this huge... sometimes I wonder if, you know, have you seen that show Dog the Bounty Hunter?
No, but I've seen previews for it, yeah.
You know, I walked down into the den the other day, and my dad was visiting, and Carrie and my dad were watching Dog the Bounty Hunter, and Carrie got so... She loves that show now. It's the weirdest thing. This guy looks like he's some kind of 80s punk rocker, and he's going around hunting down criminals to get in the bounty. I have a feeling that when I grow up, you know, that I'm going to be kind of a Dog the Bounty Hunter hunting out mystics, you know? Trying to track down the mystics, and I'll have my hair up in some sort of massive bleach blonde mullet, tracking down mysticism. Because the more and more I see it, the more and more I start to realize that this is the danger to the church and to our faith and to everything that the Lord Jesus has given us is this mysticism, or what Luther calls enthusiasm, which wants to separate the work of the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. And it's everywhere. Every church has it. It's embedded even in the doctrine of every church's confession except for the Lutheran church. So the Lutheran church is the only church that can have this clean, that the Holy Spirit works in and only in the external Word of God.
Now, you said only in. I think a lot of Christians would say, well, certainly the Holy Spirit works in the Word of God. No one denies that. But it would be putting the Holy Spirit in a box to say He works only through Scripture.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we certainly don't want to put the Holy Spirit in a box. But if He puts Himself in a box, then we better, you know, rejoice in that box. And that's precisely what He's done. We had Galatians 3:2 earlier. Paul continues in Galatians 3:5, where he says, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith?" There's this contrast between works, and we might even say experiences, and all of this other stuff with simply hearing the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit has said, look, you have me and my benefits when you hear and believe the Word of God. This is my instrument. This is the way that I work among men.
Okay, so that no one... could falsely accuse you of saying that you're somehow limiting the Holy Spirit's work. What is it the Holy Spirit promises to do precisely through that word? Because I think along with the idea that the Holy Spirit's out there floating free in the wind is the idea that He doesn't really have anything specific to do. He kind of nudges you, leads you. He's kind of there as what... He's there as kind of a mentor or a guide through life, but He has no real specific job to do.
Right, right.
What is it the Holy Spirit does through the Word?
I mean, our Lord Jesus tells us this, that the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin and judgment and righteousness. So the Holy Spirit comes to, and this is all God's work with men, to kill and make alive, in the sense that He brings us the law and shows us our sins, shows us our failures, shows us our unholiness and uncleanness, and then He brings us the promise of the gospel and even grants us faith to believe that promise and gives us the forgiveness of sins. And where the forgiveness of sins is, there also is life and salvation. So the Holy Spirit It brings the law and the gospel. And the resulting work, when the law and the gospel comes, is what we call repentance, a sorrow over our sin and faith and forgiveness.
Okay, here's something that may be even more difficult to grasp, and that is, if you listen to the Lutheran Reformers, they will say that the Holy Spirit works in and through only the external word, and here they're talking about Holy Scripture, but they do not limit the work of that Holy Scripture, the scope of that Holy Scripture, simply to the words on the page, although they put a lot of emphasis on the words on the page. They also talk about the external word in terms of preaching and practice, don't they?
Oh, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's right. So that the external word is really the preached word primarily, as well as the word in Scripture. And they'll also, whatever the Lord has bound up his word to, then that counts, you know. That's also the external word. So if the Lord's going to take his word, and especially the word of promise of forgiveness, and wrap it up with water, then you have baptism, and that's also the Holy Spirit is working there through this external word and water, to create and sustain faith. And the same thing, if the Lord is going to take his word and he's going to wrap it up with his body and his blood and put his body and blood in the bread and the wine, you have it there too in the sacraments. So we say word and sacrament. This also is the working of the external word along with the preaching and the absolution, a Christian comforting one another. But the point is, it's in that word that the Holy Spirit is working and not apart from it. Not separate from it. There's always, always this temptation to divide the work of the Spirit and the external Word, because we want the Spirit to be working inside and the Word to be on the outside. And this is just, this move is fundamental to every single error ever made in the church.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about the external Word, how God always directs us. When we're looking for the work of the Holy Spirit, to that word and no place else. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Stay tuned. You'll find Christ-centered, cross-focused sermons from the Old Testament in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, the Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. These sermon texts are written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more about this resource at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Old Testament Collection by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Are you listening to a single word I've said? Listen closely to the words I say.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the importance of the external word on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 17th. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Before the break, you were talking about how every heresy really comes from, and every error in the church really comes from, and begins with this separation of spirit and word. So somehow there's a wordless spirit or a spiritless word. Talk more about that, if you would, Brian.
Well, I think the central theological point in the Lutheran Confessions, this is Lutheran Small Called, part 3:8, starting in the third paragraph. This might be one of the most phenomenal theological insights apart from the Holy Scriptures, where he says this: "These things which concern the spoken outward word, we must firmly hold that God grants His Spirit or grace to no one, except through or with the preceding outward word, in order that we may thus be protected against the enthusiasts, the spirits who boast that they have the Spirit without and before the word, and accordingly judge the Scripture or the spoken word, and explain it and stretch it at their pleasure." You see, if the Spirit is coming apart from the word, then the result is we can do whatever we want with the word, because after all, we have the Spirit, so now we can shape the word to say what we want it to say. Luther goes on to say, he talks about the enthusiast, Munzer. Then he talks about the Pope, who says he has the Scripture in the shrine of his own heart. And then he says this: "All this is the old devil and old serpent who converted Adam and Eve into enthusiasts and led them from the outward word of God to spiritualizing and self-conceit. And he accomplished this through other outward words. This is the root of every heresy," says Luther, from the Pope to Mohammed to the enthusiast to everything else, is this separation of the Spirit and the Word. Because as soon as that happens, then we can judge or coerce out of the Word anything that we want.
All right. He even says at one point, I think in the same document, that any spirit that comes apart from the external Word, you can confidently conclude is not the Spirit of God, but the devil himself.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds like overstatement.
Luther sees this clearly. Now, here's the thing. It sounds like an overstatement because we're surrounded by this on everywhere we turn. You know, this paper, the Lutheran Exceptionalism paper, I was trying to answer this question: what does the Lutheran Church believe that no other church believes? And I think that's a nice question, and we should be able to have a simple answer to it, because, you know, we have overlapping doctrines. We share a lot of our teachings with other people. There's a lot of churches that confess the Trinity, the two natures of Christ, or we'll agree with this church that the Scriptures are entirely true. We'll agree with this church over here that Christ died for all people. So we have kind of overlapping differences, but where is that place where the Lutheran Church doesn't agree with anyone? I'm kind of argumentative, and knowing the answer to this question will allow me to argue with anyone without actually knowing what they think. I'll just know that I disagree with them. So to push through and try to find the answer to that, this is what it is that the Lutheran Church is the only church, the only confession, the only church body that believes that the Holy Spirit works exclusively through the external word and sacraments. Everyone else will separate the work of the Spirit from the external word and sacraments. So if you want to disagree with anyone, you can just talk to them about this. You can just talk to them about baptism or about the Lord's Supper or about the efficacy of the Scriptures, and they just won't agree with you. All the other churches deny it. And so we are getting used to denying it ourselves, to thinking that there's all these other different ways that the Holy Spirit works or comes or gives His blessings and all of this sort of thing. So it sounds crazy, but Luther is right when he says it. Any other spirit that comes apart from God's word is not the Holy Spirit, but is the demonic spirits. It is the demons. It is the devil himself.
Let me bounce a few common terms or common ways of speaking in the church off of you, and you tell me whether or not these phrases, these colloquialisms, betray this kind of separation of word and spirit. I felt led.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what? I mean, what do I care about your feeling? Were you led or were you not? This is maybe the point here, is if the Holy Spirit is not going to work through our ears, then He's got to work somewhere else. And so we just assume that our emotions are our Holy Spirit receptors. You know, that's how that our emotions are our Holy Spirit radar, and this serves the devil so well because listen, when we have to hear something, when the Holy Spirit is working through words, when you're working with words, you actually have to have some sort of precision. You have to say something and not say something else. But our emotions are very fuzzy. It's the realm of impressions and of feelings and inclinations. And we think, because the Holy Spirit is a spirit, that he lives in these kind of unprecise sort of ways. No. The Holy Spirit is precise and clear for our own comfort. He's going to say things with distinction and with clarity so that we can know it and have this assurance. So we want to, the Holy Spirit must be pressing me this way, influencing me that way. I have this sort of feeling. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, John is clear about this. He says, if our conscience condemns us, we have one who's greater than our conscience. And that says, at least that says, that we do not judge the Holy Spirit by how we feel, but by what he says.
Mary is listening in Southern Illinois. Mary, thanks for waiting on the line.
Sure. What can you tell us about the urge to hear the word, which often comes before actually hearing it?
That is a great question, Mary. Thank you.
The urge to hear the word. Now, you have to tell me what that is. Did Mary drop off already? Or
well, I think what she meant to say is...
In my particular case, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In my particular case, I was baptized a Lutheran. My mother died at age 3. I had a 50-year gap in there. And I often had thoughts about my mother, who, of course, I never really knew, and how she could believe this hogwash. And, you know, I just got the feeling that I needed to go to church and find out, to hear the word.
Mary,
what would you call that?
Mary, thank you very much. You have asked an excellent question.
Yeah, this is fantastic, isn't it? I don't think, I mean, oftentimes the Bible will describe the word of God like a seed, right? So it'll be planted. And the thing with the, and Jesus will make this point in the parable, you plant it, and then it looks like nothing is happening. And then it'll sprout forth and bear fruit and this sort of thing. I think we see that often, especially with people who are baptized as children. The Lord plants the seed of the word, and then later it sprouts forth and brings forth its own fruit. But the danger is thinking that it is somehow apart from the Lord's word, or somehow distinct from the Lord's word. That the Holy Spirit is working precisely in the Lord's word. Now, I don't think we would want to say that the Holy Spirit couldn't, for example, bring the word to a person, or even through the circumstances of our life, bring a person to the word. But that very act of the Holy Spirit is really proving the point that it's in the word that he's going to give his blessings. He doesn't just give blessings apart from it.
Now, your answer to Mary there requires that we acknowledge, as you have already earlier in our conversation, that baptism is the external word at work, God working through that external word with water.
Right. Yeah, that's precisely it. That's how Luther will define baptism. It's the water and the word. And it's the word, especially the name of God in baptism, that's making this water no ordinary water, but a blessed water of life.
So, Mary, the Holy Spirit was working through his word all the way from your baptism until he brought you again into contact with the word. The word is very, very powerful, and it lasts a long time. How about this one? God told me.
Well, I mean, it's the question to ask is, well, how? How did he tell you that, whatever he did tell you? And if you said, well, the Ten Commandments. That's fine, you know. That's how he tells everybody everything. But the point is, I mean, when people say, and I don't know how many times this to deal with this craziness, is someone will come up to you and they'll say, "Well, God told me this about you or about whatever," and I say, "Well, that's not very fair. Why didn't he tell me that instead of me being able to trust God like you apparently do, I have to trust you." How in the world is that fair that you get to trust God and I have to trust you and you're just some stranger that walked up to me? So that's just a form of abuse, really. I met this guy. Have I told you the story about meeting the apostle at the McDonald's in Reno? Did I ever tell you that story?
You got about 30 seconds.
Oh, that's too long for that. We were just having a drink, and this guy came up to me, and he says, I'm an apostle. I said, well, I'm a pastor. He says, well, I'm higher on the chain than you, and I have a word of God for you. And I said, well, what's that? And he says, you have to trust his apostles. Well, that's convenient.
Okay, I want to keep you for another question on the other side of the break, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's great.
In the meantime, so this person who claims to have had a personal word from God, God told me, or I heard from God, if they're talking about something they read in the Bible, great. But if they're talking about something that they heard in the quietness of their own mind, what do you say with 30 seconds?
The quietness of our own mind must come from the Scriptures. The word that we hear must come from the external Word of God. And if it's apart from that or distinct from that, then it is not God's Word, and we can't trust it.
When we come back, another question for Pastor Wolf Miller. He's been so bold as to say that the Lutheran Church is the only church that teaches this. And that means that there is a certainty to that teaching. It really is kind of another way of saying Scripture alone, when we say that the Holy Spirit works through Scripture alone, or when we say that God communicates with us through Scripture alone, or that God works through Scripture alone, or, as we'll find out when we come back, God saves through Scripture alone. Stay tuned.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The midterm election's behind us and will now be a footnote in history, but it's vital what follows the election be an important turning point in our battle to end abortion. God's blessed us with a large number of pro-life members of Congress, but now the real work begins. We must hold them accountable while they're in office. Make sure your elected officials know that just as quickly as they were voted into office, they can be voted out if they don't stand up for the rights of unborn babies and all innocent human life. The battle to save unborn babies is going to heat up in Washington, D.C., and I need your help to defend them. In the future, I'll be letting you know when you need to act. Please commit to being there when the babies need you most.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A few more minutes with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller talking about the importance of the external word on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 17th. Then some audio open lines. Joel Osteen of Lakewood Church, largest megachurch in the United States, growing by leaps and bounds. I think they're probably somewhere near 50,000 a week, 50,000 a week at that church in their many services. He was on The View promoting a Christmas book that he's recently written, and he had some questions, some moral questions that the ladies were inquiring of him on, and we'll let you listen to it and then get your reaction during audio open lines for the remainder of this first hour of Issues Etc. Brian, what's the bottom line here? Because if everything we've said about how the Holy Spirit works is true, and what you said at the beginning, that the Holy Spirit works to bring faith in Jesus Christ, aren't we really saying that God saves through the external word alone?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's it, precisely it. I mean, we when we look at how the Lord converts a man, this definition is so fundamental that the Holy Spirit works through the external word and sacraments, that when we, for example, start to see the Lutheran confessions unfold, this is going to be the kind of bedrock upon which everything else is built, especially things with the third article of the Creed and the work of the Holy Spirit. So, for example, if this is the way the Holy Spirit works to create faith, then what is the church? Well, the church is the place where the external word, the gospel, is preached and the sacraments are administered. This helps us answer the question, like, what is worship? Worship is the Holy Spirit coming to us to give us his gifts in the external word and sacraments. And what is conversion? How does the Lord take a man from the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of darkness to be in his own kingdom of light and salvation and the forgiveness of sins? The answer is the Holy Spirit does this through the external word and sacraments. The clearest thing, and Luther is so fantastically clear, this is in Against the Heavenly Prophets, he makes this distinction, and I think this is so helpful. He says we have to distinguish between the way the forgiveness of sins is won and the way the forgiveness of sins is delivered. The forgiveness of sins was won for us once for all on the cross when Jesus died for all people, shed his blood to cover every sin, to atone for all the sins of mankind, and said, "It is finished." But the forgiveness of sins is distributed throughout time and space through the external word and through the sacraments. And so we know how the Holy Spirit is pleased to distribute the forgiveness that Jesus won on the cross. It's through his word, through his word preached, through the word and water and baptism, through the word, body and blood and bread and wine and the Lord's Supper. That's where the Holy Spirit saves us and forgives our sins.
A real quick answer to a question from Stephen in London, England. He writes, "One thing I found a bit difficult to understand about how Lutherans talk about the work of the Spirit is that sometimes Lutherans sound like they deny the indwelling of the Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit work on us from outside or indwell us? And if both, how do these relate?" About a minute to respond to Stephen in London.
Well, sure. Well, so certainly the Holy Spirit lives in us and Christ lives in us. But how? And the answer is by faith by believing the external word. So even the means by which the Holy Spirit uses to dwell in us is the external word. I mean, it seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? But that's what Paul's talking about in the beginning of Galatians 3, those passages that I read earlier. How do you receive the Spirit? And the answer is it's by hearing. We're always pointed back outside of ourselves. Here's another text. Let's look at this one. Acts 10:44. "While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word." Or again, Jesus speaks in John 15:3. "You are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Or here's the words of our Lord again, John 6:63. "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life." So that word that comes to us is the Holy Spirit working, and he does his work. Well, he does his work inside of us, but it's by the tool of the external word.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, and author of an article titled Lutheran Exceptionalism. You'll find this article under the Listen On Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Take care.